Story 101. When you're lost and lonely in the dark, take a tip from Shelley, Bruce, and Mark. Tune in, tune on. Recovery 101. You'll find the booze in use. We'll help you lose the blues.
We don't throw rules at you.
Well, except rule 62.
When you get that urge and feel that need, don't go drinking shots or smoking weed. Tune in, tune on. Insanity can be fun at Recovery 101.
Thank you to Phil and the Harmonix for that marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFAIR or any of them there, guys.
The alphabet soup of recovery.
The alphabet soup. That's the disclaimer. So that we can do this show in case, as we often get asked, how do you guys get away with doing this show? Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Wow. You know what? You had to do that.
Cutter in full yawn.
Yeah, and it's early. It's like early in the day when we're recording today.
Jeez. Okay, I got like 4 hours of sleep. Well, plus another 2 hours sitting in the computer chair, which is not as restful as you might think it would be.
Oh, I don't know. I've slept in the computer chair many, many times. I was playing Candy Crush or something, or Candy Crush Soda, and I'm playing it. And the next thing I know, I wake up and I am cold, and I'm freezing. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in the chair. And I'm like halfway through some level, and my hands are frozen.
Uh-huh.
And I've been asleep for like 3 or 4 hours in the chair.
I'm surprised just by muscle memory you don't continue.
I might. Maybe that's how I've gotten so far. Yeah. I've once again maxed out Candy Crush Soda to whatever level that is. I don't even know what it is. Candy Crush Soda. I'm at the maximum levels. I can't go any further.
I tell people I know you.
I did that on Candy Crush.
I know.
1,000 levels.
I know. I tell people I know you.
And then I stop.
I know the guy.
No, you know who you should tell. You should tell him you know the guy that's won the Diamond League World Championships on Angry Birds several times.
I do tell them that.
If I could only monetize that.
I hate when they kick my ass like that.
If I could monetize that.
Yeah.
You know, my ex-wife used to go down to the club and I would play pinball. And I was very good at playing pinball. And she would always bitch, why are you playing pinball? Why are you playing? We go to Vegas one time and they're having the World Championships of pinball. Uh-huh. And one of the games is this game I play all the time over at the Alano Club. And their scores are nowhere near what my scores are on them. And I remember the guy that used to take the money out of the machine. Uh-huh. He goes, I've never seen anybody roll this game over before. And I'm like, well, I can roll it over like 3 times. He goes, I know. And I'm like, and the amount, and this is, dude, this is like 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
The amount they were giving away was like $400,000.
How'd you not enter the next year?
I don't remember, but I should have. I should have. So, Mark, how was your day?
My day was good. Went out for breakfast. Came home, ran a couple errands. Didn't get to watch much football today.
No?
Nope.
Is there anybody worth watching today?
You know what? The games didn't really draw me to the television. So, of course, Denver, New England's tonight, so.
Oh,
I am not unhappy to get home in time to watch the second half of that.
Did you hear any of the scores, though? Like Carolina?
Carolina played on Thanksgiving. They won.
Oh, they got a bye?
They won. No, they played on Thanksgiving. They won.
They won. Oh, so there's, what, are they like 10-0, 11-0?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, my God.
How
about who day?
Your Bears beat the Packers.
Oh, I know that. I had to call my friend James. I said, I'm so sorry that my, whatever they are, the 4-5 Bears beat Green Bay in Green Bay.
Yep. The Bengals destroyed whoever they played today. So.
Yay.
Yeah, Shelly's all happy about that. How was your day, Shelly?
Tiring. I wasn't going to go to church, and then in 12:30 last night, I decided I was going to go to church, so I changed my alarm and set my alarm so I would get up. But then at 5:20 in the morning, I wake up totally congested, feel like crap. I go and take whatever I took, Advil and
cocaine,
Claritin or something, and Absolutely. I get back into bed, and Billy, the dog, and Archie, who had been sleeping on my head, decided that that was the perfect time to have the battle royale for dominance of mom.
They're going to have on a go
my
round.
Head and my chest for 2 hours. I finally got up at 7:30 because I was like, I can't lay here getting pummeled anymore. So I got up, and then I went out to the computer. I was going to post the devotional, take a shower, get ready to go to church. Fell asleep at the computer chair. And now I still have a crick in my neck from that.
Shelly's got this.
And then I was late getting him his insulin, so he's been off schedule all day.
Shelly's got this dog and this cat going to town on her. I have a cat on one side of me. I got Bob, the dog, on the other side of me. We're just all sleeping away while they're running around. And I heard
it was intense.
Woke me up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not for long.
No, not for long. No, yeah. not really. By the way, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. Oh, you didn't think it'd be that fast, did you?
No, I forgot to stand up.
I ended it up in
I didn't know.
You.
I didn't know who I was going to be dooting with.
I know. I saw you looking straight at me. So when I went quick, you went quick.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just had a brain cloud and forgot what I was doing. Okay. We have shout-outs to Elizabeth, Bill, Sally, Georgette, Pete, Natalie, Dakota, Carol, Joey, Cece, James, Jack, Dan, Stryker, Randy, Damon, Wes, Alexandria, John, Wendy, and Neil.
Bye.
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 All the kids are leaving home.
Everybody at home is like, where are they going?
Yeah, we just said goodbye to everybody we shouted out to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Elizabeth sent this one in. Oh, and by the way, Elizabeth, I got to tell you, I'm giving you credit for this one because it was a link off of one of the other stories you sent me, but I didn't use the other two stories you sent me because they made me cry, and I'm like, okay, I can't do those.
Oh, Shelley.
But this one.
You're a professional.
Must have been about, you know, Tim Tebow and.
No, it was.
Miss Universe telling him she didn't went.
No, it was about spiders and sharks.
No. It was about that other dog that got its muzzle duct taped, and the woman posted it on Facebook, and now they're looking for her. And then there was another story about a newborn left in a dumpster, and I was like, okay, I can't do those today.
Did the newborn survive?
Nope.
Oh.
Okay, this is out of Pittstown, New York. Milo Tudor was found with two deer carcasses and the head of a third when he went hunting without a license. And unfortunately, he's been arrested after getting his truck stuck in the field on the way back because he was driving drunk and wasn't paying attention to where he was going.
Oh.
Not only is he busted for hunting
That's
without a
major
license,
fine.
Yeah.
It's also apparently in New York a crime to hunt while under the influence.
I would think.
Well, that's just a good idea to not do that.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't shoot the wrong thing.
Well, the other thing is
in Tennessee, it's almost expected to go hunting while under the influence.
And don't go hunting with Dick Cheney.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that the story in itself is, you know, major fail on his part. The first sentence, I'm going to read the first sentence of the story, and this underlines why we need human eyes to be proofreaders for news stories. State police say they arrested a man Saturday night after he was caught hunting under the influence of alcohol without a license.
Huh?
Which makes it sound like you need to get a license to drink in New York.
And hunt. Drink and hunt at the same time.
There's a license for that. That's his problem. He didn't have a license to be drinking and hunting at the same time.
Exactly.
I just thought of someone else in politics you shouldn't go hunting with.
Who?
Gerald Ford.
Well, because he's dead.
Well, I know, but when he was alive...
Clumsy guy.
Dude, I remember he was doing some, I don't know, pro-am golf thing in Palm Springs, and he teed off. It went directly into a woman who was not that far away. I mean, just knocked her cold.
I think I remember that.
Funny thing is, fantastic athlete in college.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And they used to like, Chevy. Slide, you know, the stairs up to the plane. He'd fall down them.
Yeah, but I think about 80% of that stuff was kind of made up by Chevy Chase.
Possibly.
Nah, I saw a video of him falling and
well,
stuff.
Well, yeah, there may have been like two incidents.
Yeah, but you were kind of high.
over the course of your entire career, I mean, I follow up the steps on a weekly basis. If I were a politician, there'd be 1,000 videos. So if you had 2 videos and then Chevy Chase took off with it,
yeah,
suddenly there are 45 times when he's done a face plant.
Yeah.
Okay.
The best. Was it Bush Sr. who puked in
the Japanese,
like the Japanese Prime Minister's lap?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Our relationship has never been the same with them since. That's global domination when you walk up to a leader of another country and just throw up in his lap.
Oh, God.
Now, see, if he had been on his game, the emperor could have bottled up little vials of that puke and sold it on eBay.
Dude.
People would have paid for it, I'm telling you. Presidential puke? Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Only Shelley could come up with that.
Yeah.
Presidential
no,
puke.
No, I'm sure somebody else could have. I'm not
they
the only
have,
twisted person out there.
And that was years ago. No one's come up with it.
Bill sent this in out of New Orleans. It's sort of a Lilo story.
A Lilo sighting?
Sort of. It's her stepmother.
Okay.
Oh.
On a coast-to-coast flight, the plane that she was in was diverted. It was New York to L.A. Was diverted to New Orleans. That's a weird flight. I'm not sure why it was diverted way down there.
That's cool.
Yeah. Or maybe it was from...
Yeah, if I'm going to get diverted, send me to New Orleans.
Oh, no, sorry. It was from Fort Lauderdale to Los Angeles. Okay.
That makes sense.
That makes more sense. Because her stepmother became unruly on the flight, and she had to be removed. They had to land a nonstop plane. How unruly was this woman?
You know what? I got to tell you something. With the way flight crews are nowadays and the Gestapos that work in the back of the plane, I don't think you have to do a whole lot.
Possibly not.
Yeah, and you know what? The last time I flew anywhere, the service was not that spectacular.
What service?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, wasn't bad, but we came. Matter of fact, it was way better on the way back than on the way there. On the way to Chicago, not that great. On the way back, much better. But
yeah,
you know,
I was on a flight.
Remember when that used to be coffee, tea, or me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now it's
whatever happened to that?
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm not sure you want the me.
No. Yeah. Almost never.
Because the same flight attendants are still there that were there 40 years ago when it was coffee, tea. Because
his name is Leonard.
Yeah. I almost got kicked off a plane in Hawaii.
For what?
I was boarding one of those flights from one island to the other.
Oh, the puddle jumpers, yeah.
Yeah. And had Peg and my two daughters. Two oldest daughters with us who were 15 and 12 at the time. So we got on the plane. And, you know, they're small planes, so you grab a seat.
Right.
So Peg sat with the two kids, and I sat in the aisle seat of the exit row, about 4 rows away from them.
Uh-huh.
And my youngest daughter turned around and said, "Daddy, when we get to Maui," and asked me a question. And the flight attendant goes, "Are you traveling with her?" I said, "Yeah, and my wife and my other daughter." "You can't sit in the exit row, sir, if you're traveling with someone under 15. I go, "That's not what it says. Don't argue with me." I'm like, whoa.
Nowadays.
I don't argue with idiots.
Nowadays.
Oh, nowadays,
they would have stepped you right off the plane.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Wow.
Did you not turn the page on that law?
Wow.
So, yeah, so he was, Peg turns around to the girls. I hear her. "We'll see Daddy on the next flight." I'm like, you're being, end up with 3 flight attendants, and the captain came back.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I look at the captain, I go, "Really?" He goes, "Well, really, you don't argue with the flight attendants." I said, "No, but really, is he right?" He goes, "You don't argue with the flight attendants." I go, "Okay, thank you." So he is an idiot.
Because the captain didn't say, "No, you're wrong." Mm-hmm. The captain's like, "You just don't argue with flight attendants." That's it.
Well, her stepmother, Kate Major Lohan, was turned over to the FBI upon landing.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Yeah. So that should be interesting.
Okay. Well, Lilo was not cited anywhere in this Lilo sighting.
No, actually. She's been behaving lately.
I heard she's getting a little time, actually.
That's what I heard, too. The next story was from Neil. A new study, U.S. researchers have found that if you have had a big night out and you've been doing quite a bit of drinking and perhaps you feel worse than you think you should, it might not just be the booze. You need to check your mixer.
Yeah.
According to the study that was published in the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence, the team at Northern Kentucky University discovered that people who mix liquor with sugar-free drinks end up with a 25% higher blood alcohol content.
Really?
Yep. It slows absorption into your bloodstream.
Wow. So I was doing myself in.
Yep.
Yeah. Plus the caffeine level in the Diet Coke.
Well, I know, but, you know, it just, it's like one of those weird paradoxical effects. It's like, so if I have the thing that starts out at 1,100 calories, my blood sugar ends up being lower than if I start the one with 0 calories.
No, not your blood sugar.
Your blood sugar.
Well, yeah, that is the diabetic paradox.
Yeah.
But they're talking about blood alcohol content.
Oh. Oh, shit. I was hammered.
Never mind.
Yeah, you were hammered. You were hammered.
I always drank it with diet. Like every single time I ever drank a mixed drink, it was with diet. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Drank a lot more than I thought I did.
Elizabeth sent this story into Columbus, Georgia. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
The actual Circle K?
Yes. 5:45 a.m. on Monday, the police responded to the Circle K because Mr. Miller attempted to steal the Coors Light beer truck.
Well, that's a,
well,
that's,
if you're gonna, that's a lot better than trying to steal a six pack.
Yeah.
I know, but Miller tried to steal a Coors.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, that
however, he had to be taken to the medical center with a severe ankle injury when he attempted to get away by jumping out of the truck, which then ran over his legs.
Yeah. Well, wait. Well, wait. Didn't Miller and Coors merge last year?
I don't know.
I think they did.
I don't know.
I think it was okay.
Oh, okay. Well, then Miller should have been able to steal the Coors.
That's right.
That's right.
No, he's got no legs. No, he has a reason to sit around and drink.
Yeah, what I always wonder is, because I've seen a couple of videos, like fail videos, where people have fallen or something and a car has run over their legs, and the people immediately get off the ground and walk to the side, you know, like limping.
Yeah, they're on PCP.
Why are none of these people's legs getting broken? Like, this guy got run over. This isn't like a
beer
little
truck.
This isn't like a little passenger car.
Yeah,
this
is not a smart
diesel car.
Yeah, it's a semi.
Yeah.
Full of beer.
Oh, my God.
Well,
you would think that it would smash flat. And
well,
broke bones.
Yeah, broke both ankles.
Oh, both his ankles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it broke. I thought it just injured his ankle.
Well, they're calling it a severe ankle injury.
Right.
But they said he was in unsatisfactory condition.
But it didn't say they broke him.
Well, what do you think happened? I'm probably sure they got smushed.
Yeah. Well, I think they got smushed too.
Well, the fact that he was admitted.
Wow. Do you imagine that somewhere in there he said the words, "Here, hold my beer truck"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, hold my beer truck.
Where was it, though?
Georgia.
Here, hold my beer truck. I wanted to make sure it was down south again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buddy of mine went out with, like, some physician's consultant assistant type thing. Not quite a nurse, not quite a doctor, but one of those people. And
mm-hmm.
What exactly do you do? I'm the first person you see after you say the words, "Here, hold my beer."
Okay, Neil sent this one in, sorry. This is out of the UK. It was revealed at the Reading Crown Court that perhaps the story of the 15-year-old stabbing her classmate was not exactly the way it was we were led to believe. She was charged with charged with attempted murder and wounding with intent.
With intent to murder?
Well, there are two different charges in the UK, I guess.
Intent to what?
Intent to murder.
Okay.
But here's the thing. During her trial, and she maintained all along that he wanted to be stabbed. They got into an argument, and he was boasting about wanting to get shanked. And, of course, who's going to believe that, right? Well, they actually found evidence that not only was she telling the truth, but he'd been posting about this on social media for quite a long time.
What an idiot. Oh.
And in fact, right after she stabbed him, before he called 911,
He posted.
He took pictures of his bloody wounds and posted them, said that it had been his dream to get shanked. And underneath the picture, it said, "Look who just got stabbed. Check my story. You lot aren't at my level. I've just been stabbed.
I found my true love. I searched the world over and I thought I found true love."
Wow.
Yeah. So
you stabbed another. You stabbed another and she was gone.
Yeah. So the charges may be changed somewhat. Apparently, he's been posting about this for quite a while.
Is stupid illegal?
I guess stupid in this case might be illegal. He also posted things like, "I hope she rolls on me with her shank. I'll get 1,000 pounds. I'll be 16 years old with 1,000 pounds and a stab wound."
Wow, aren't you cool?
He thinks that this is a good thing.
He's an idiot.
It's a game.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? All the chicks at his school are like, "What a dipshit."
Yeah.
He is not going to get another date at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Want to see my scar? No.
No, go away.
Oh, that was you?
Neil also sent this one in. According to the most recent National Institute of Health study, the incidence of women drinking to excess is has risen sharply in the last couple of years, from 44% to 48%, while the figure for men has decreased 1% over the same period.
Does it say where?
In the U.S.
in general?
In general, in the U.S.
So in the U.S., what was the percentage change for men?
57 to 56.
Okay, and what was the percentage change for women?
It went up from 44 to 48% of women.
Okay, so we've got a net difference of 5% more guys getting laid. 5% more women are drinking to excess, 1% less men.
Oh, you add them up. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah. More guys getting laid.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well.
And some of them getting laid easier because they quit drinking. 1% of them.
The statistic is alarming because women are more susceptible to a variety of alcohol-related health effects
and
from
ladies,
excessive
don't
drinking.
Forget, if you're going to go out and have a good time, make sure to drink your drinks mixed with Diet Coke.
This public service announcement has been provided by Bruce B.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, really. Okay, wait, where was I? I lost my place.
You
there it is.
I would be in drinking competitions with people, like how many like Long Island iced teas could you drink? I would always get it made with, well, actually, Long Island iced tea wouldn't be a good example, but Jack and Coke. I drink Jack and Diet Coke. I'm getting a higher blood alcohol level than the guy who's drinking regular Jack and Coke. That isn't hardly fair.
So
you're gonna get
those
a drinking
aren't drinking competitions.
Huh?
Drinking competitions involve a glass and a bottle.
Or just a bottle.
Or just a bottle.
Okay, and finally, Bill sent this one in. Once again, drunks save the day.
Yay,
go us. Because we exist, and they had to create a drug named Antabuse. And it's been many, many years, and Antabuse doesn't really do much for us.
Well,
however, they've discovered that Antabuse solves what's called a latency problem in patients with HIV. In order to get the antiviral drugs to work on HIV, the virus has to be active in their systems. Mm-hmm. But HIV goes into a long dormancy or latency period, and they discovered that the drug Antabuse will wake it up so that it can come out of hiding and get killed.
Oh.
That's actually a step closer to a cure.
Wow.
Just because we were drunks.
I know a guy named Carl. And Carl used to share that when he was in the Navy, he had gotten in a little bit of trouble, and they put him on Antabuse, which makes you incredibly sick if you drink. And he discovered if you just continue to drink, eventually that Antabuse won't make you sick anymore. You can just drink right through it. So they kept giving him Antabuse, and he kept drinking. He'd get sick, he'd get sick, he'd get sick. And after a while, he just stopped getting sick, and he just kept drinking and taking
it. It was a mixer.
Yeah.
Mixer. Well, at least something good came out of it.
There you
That's very good news. And that is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress, too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
How are you?
Outstanding. Shelly, we have a topic.
Okay, go ahead.
Mark, we have a topic. You had a name for it.
Lest we forget.
Lest we forget. You know, we spoke a few shows ago about the insanity of the disease, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the results to be different. And it came to fruition with someone we knew, with someone that Mark used to sponsor. Shelly, you wanna start this off?
I don't know. I spent half the morning crying. I don't. It's been a long enough that I don't normally get that upset when this kind of stuff happens because it happens so often. I mean, it's not that you get blasé about it or anything like that. It's just that you get used to it, I guess, which is a horrible thing to get used to death, but you do. And there have only been a couple of other times when there's been a death in the program that just really, really rattled me. But this is one of them. And I don't think he would mind if we used his name at this point.
I don't think so.
You know, Jake was... We were here, the three of us were around when he first came in.
Yep.
And Mark sponsored him for a while.
Quite a while.
And he would hang out with us. He went to coffee.
He
came
brought
to
my friend Mike.
Yeah, he's
the program.
Yeah, he's the reason why Mike came in. And
Mike just celebrated 5 years this year.
And he just couldn't get it. But everybody liked him.
Oh, when he was clean and sober, he was just a great guy to be around.
Well, and everybody, I mean, if you think about it, everybody on this show has heard about this guy before not knowing who it was.
Yeah.
He's the guy that when he went back to New York, he told you, I'm a little worried about going to New York, and you know, New Year's Eve, and you said, you're not going to make it anyway.
Yep.
You know, and he's also the one that when we went to the CA convention, kept disappearing in the middle of the night to go out to the car and would come in from the car and go directly into the bathroom.
Yep.
And, you know, so there's people on the show that have listened to the show for a while have probably heard about this guy before.
Yeah.
But really genuinely nice guy.
They just don't know who they've been hearing about because we never used his name before.
Right.
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 You know, I mean, it was really something because he came into the rooms an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And
went out a heroin addict.
You know, it's like it's we've done several shows about, you know, people taking people with them when they go. I mean, he met a girl in detox.
Of course.
Who taught him how to
slam. Yeah.
And you know, and he joked one time, he says, you know, I went into detox an alcoholic and came out a heroin addict.
Well, and you know what? Again, also the switching addictions thing. Mm-hmm. You know, people wonder why we talk about new relationships in the first year.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah. Because one goes, they all go. You know, it's...
Yeah, and that's... You know, we should probably do that as a topic sometime. You know, the domino effect.
Yeah.
You know, when people take people with them.
Yeah, well, we did Trailer Hitch not long ago, which was the...
Wagon train.
Yep.
Klingons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of terms for that.
Yeah.
Now, Shelley, of the people I know, you were the... Well, I know somebody else, but there was a... Someone called you.
Yeah, one of our good friends in recovery had heard about it quite soon after it happened, I guess, and texted me because he was just in shock. And then I was in shock. And I only texted two people. I only told two people because the only, I thought, who needs to know? And the two people that I thought needed to know right at that moment was Mark mm-hmm. and our friend Michael, who yeah. came in with Jake.
Yep.
Those are the only two people I talked to, and now, and, but you know, the tribal drum beat goes pretty fast around here, so
yeah, but, it didn't take any time at all. Yeah.
Well, I contacted a friend of ours that owns the recovery or runs the recovery center that Jake went to, not the one where he came out a heroin addict, but one of the first ones he went to.
Marty?
No, Ira.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, and I contacted him last night, and he just.
And you know, the thing is, I like Jake a lot. I mean, I really did. I liked him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people might look at me and go, you don't seem all that torn up by it. And Shelley had kind of alluded to this a little bit. Man, in 26 years, I've just literally seen this hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And Jake is a little closer than what other people have been.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people I know in the program that would probably affect me even more. But, God, I've just seen so – and I've been known to do it in meetings where I say, you guys need to understand, this disease is a killer.
Yes.
It kills people every day. And Shelley made a point of this the other day. She said, you know, in a weird sort of way – Jake's passing is probably going to be awesome for a bunch of young people's recovery from around the club, because these are all the kids that think it won't hurt me. I won't hurt. Jake knows all these guys. You know, they all, yeah. a lot of them looked up to Jake because he was such a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
And here's Jake who, you know, did himself in.
Yeah. I mean, Jake had incredible 6 month stretches.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to call him half-cake
Jake.
Jake.
Yeah. And, you know, but, you know, I several years ago when we were at Charter and the counselors were sitting in the meeting that one night, and that 23-year-old girl who died in front of the, you know, sober living that she was at
right
after she coined out.
Right.
Yeah.
And people, you know, people were just, they were just in shock. And it's like, why do you guys think this can't happen to you?
We were sitting at coffee last night, Shelley and I. My friend Michael, who Jake got him into recovery,
mm-hmm.
You know, was there, and he's in complete shock. And, I completely forgot where I was going with that. But but anyway, when Michael came and he was talking, he's like, oh, I know what it was. He goes, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And Michael has been... He celebrated 5 years this year, but he isn't going to any meetings. And I said, you know, and he was going to go tell this other guy, Larry, who knew Jake very well. They were going to go talk about it and have coffee. And I said, you know, I haven't seen Larry at any meetings lately. He goes, well, he's not really going. And I said, you know, and I looked right at him. I said, you know, it's the kind of thing that when I talk to people and I say this disease is a killer, I don't know why people play around with not going to meetings, man. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand. It's like people don't get the seriousness.
Yeah.
And I think maybe sometimes it's like maybe alcoholics on to a certain extent, because alcoholics say, I'm not going to overdose. Yeah, but you know what? You're going to drive drunk or something like that. You know, just because you're an alcoholic or anything else, a weed head or whatever, doesn't mean that you're immune from the effects.
Well, you know, I had a friend of mine who used to, in his pitch, he said, you know, unfortunately for us, we're not the people who die in the alcohol-related accidents that we end up getting into.
Yeah, it's somebody
else. We're the ones who end up being paraplegics in a wheelchair, having to sit there while the mother, the soccer mom with her four kids that died in the accident, we have to be reminded all the time that these kids were left without a mother. Because that's our type of alcoholic tragedies that go on. We're not the lucky ones who get to die.
Right. Now, Shelley, you had brought up last night about the positive benefits that you thought could come out of this.
Yeah, but I was thinking about it, and you know, I actually had some not so great dreams featuring Jake last night, and I got really, really mad this morning, and I wasn't angry with Jake. Although that's the obvious target, because what the fuck was he doing?
You angry at the disease?
No. I started getting pissed off at all of the little young Turks that run around the program like it's a game. They have the sense of immortality, and they think that, you know, this isn't going to happen to them. And then they watch it happen. And for a while, maybe some of the chronic relapsers will, you know, well, you know, I saw what happened to Jake and I don't want it to happen to me. And they'll get straight for a while. But the reality is that a couple months from now, another one of them's going to die.
Gonna drop, right.
Mm-hmm. Because they just, you know, and they look at us, you know, every time you say, every time I say in a meeting, and, you know, I'm kind of the bitch of the meeting now, because every time somebody starts
because I don't come anymore?
Yeah, because you don't come anymore. You know, unfortunately, I can't throw the heat on you now. So every time somebody starts romancing the drug or the drink in a meeting, and I speak up and tell them to knock the crap off, then I'm the bad guy. Or if Bruce speaks up and talks about how, you know, all the people that we know that die in recovery or end up in jail or just disappear, and then we find out years later how horrible their lives turned out, all of this stuff, we talk about that, and the young people look at us like, yeah, okay, I get it. But they don't, they're not listening. They don't, and they wonder, they look at us like, dang, you're old. I don't have to listen to you. Yeah, we're old.
Because
we listened.
Survived. Yeah.
Because we freaking listened and we used the tools and we did what we were told to do. That's how you get old in recovery. Yeah. And they don't care. And I was angry at them because, yeah, temporarily things might get a little better. The drama level at the club will go down or what. You know, there's a reason. Oh, my goodness. Very loud trucks. There's a reason I don't go to meetings at those clubs anymore very often. I used to go fairly regularly to the 5 o'clock, and I went to a couple of women's meetings, one at one club and one at the other, and I stopped going because I realized after a while the level of drama and angst and crap that goes on at those clubs, it's like Peyton Place, and it was not conducive to my serenity. And I got a lot more serene when I stuck to my hospital meetings or hanging out with, you know, I hate to say it, but people in CA. They seem
Why
to
do
be
you
a little
say that?
Because
that's all I hang out with.
I know, but I don't want to put one fellowship over the other, because whatever works for you works for you.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I grew up in AA, so. But at the same time, it's like there seems to be so much less angst and drama in CA meetings than there is in AA meetings.
I'll tell you one thing. I would interject right along with what you were saying. You were talking about all the drama and angst. I'll tell you what's different about the meetings at the club now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young and went to the club, those
when
meetings...
When I was
like,
young!
When those meetings... Well, when I was almost half the age I am now, when I went to meetings at the club was full. Like, the meetings were full of people with 20 and 30 years.
Uh-huh. They were alcoholics.
These were
they
the
lived
old-timers
longer.
That... Anybody said anything, they would just shut shit down, like, all the time.
Well, yeah.
And as time has gone on, there's not nearly as many 20- and 30-year guys. There's, like, a lot of people with, like, medium time. There's a lot of – and these people should know better, you know, 5, 7 years. But when you're new and you see these guys with a ton of time, I used to listen to those guys because I'm like, I want to have a ton of time. I'd hear a guy with 5 years – yeah, I wanted to get 5 years, but that guy's got 30 years. I really want to get 30 years. I want to do exactly what he says to do because he knows what he's talking about.
But, you know, we're in a different era now. I mean, we really are. I mean, just the world in general and the amount of political correctness that you need to have to live in this world is somewhat parallel to
old timers equal zero political correctness.
Yeah, except for that's not even true anymore, because there's a lot of people there that have a lot of time. That
no, I mean back in the day.
Oh, back in the day, yeah, there was no political correctness.
No, they'd say shut the fuck up. Well, they go, look, you got nothing to say. Be quiet.
And another part of the problem is that some, you know, because we're talking about old timers that were alcoholics, they tend to live longer. Mm-hmm. The drug addicts tend to spin out faster. The older ones are now, a lot of them, what I'm seeing is we get the bleating deacon phenomenon. Yeah. Now, there's like 10 of them, and there's like 75 newcomers or younger people or people with not very much time. And they get put up on this pedestal, and they think that they, you know, then the proclamations start, and it doesn't become so much about program, and it just becomes about opinion.
Right.
And that's when the drama starts, and the who's better than who, and who's the rock star at this meeting, and who's the, you know, and you get the, you know, the 12 steps according to whoever meetings, which I refuse to go to because I'm sorry, I don't need to listen to you. When you start telling me how I need to interpret the 12 steps, I need to get the hell away from you.
I remember when I used to be a rock star at meetings.
Well, that's
about
that's,
10 years.
That's the answer to, do you know what you need to do? The answer is get the hell away from you.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I don't want to play those reindeer games. I want to go to a meeting where people are actually talking about what they do on a daily basis to stay sober.
Yep.
And serene. I don't need to go to a meeting and listen to one guy pontificate for an hour about two sentences out of the big book.
Well, I'll tell you, when I went, when between when I was like maybe 15 and 20 years, I got asked to speak a lot. I was speaking a lot. I haven't spoken that much lately. I mean, I've spoken a couple few times, but I mean, I used to get, I'm going out to freaking Lancaster. Oh, yeah. I'm going out to Palm Springs. I'm going up to Big Bear. I'm going down to San Diego. I was like just this side of being a circuit speaker.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Then, 15 to 20 years, I looked younger than I do now and everything. And it's like I looked like the rock star of the program. You know what I mean? I was all head up. And the funny thing is, it's not that I'm any less head up now. If I speak now, I'm the same kind of guy.
Yep.
But there's something about, I don't think I've gotten old enough to be the, you know, like you get those guys that are like in their 60s and 70s. I think 15 to 20 years, you're doing it. You know, everyone's calling on you. You're 35 to 50 years old. And then I think there's like a doldrum for a while until you get to about 65. And then because you see those old speakers that come around and everybody listens to them because they're going to drop some pearls of wisdom on you. And they got 30 and 40 years. And
yeah. And they get up and one of the first things they usually say is, I don't know.
I don't know anything.
I'm supposed to speak at a meeting on Tuesday, and I have no idea where it is or what time the meeting starts, and no one's texted me to let me know anything.
It's 10 o'clock. It's at the Whittier Club.
Anybody was supposed to get in touch with me to confirm, and I'm like, Kay?
I think his name's George. I'll look him up on my phone.
I have no idea. Somebody called me. I said, okay. But anyway, getting back to the unfortunate subject at hand.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, yeah, it might benefit a few people.
For a minute.
For a little while. And then it'll go back to business as usual until it happens again and again and again and again. And I'm just tired. And I had a rant about it earlier today because I wasn't going to post about it. And then I ended up posting about it anyway. And I guess maybe it will help people. People are asking me if they can share it in their recovery groups and stuff. But today I think I'm a little bit overwhelmed with the futility. The futility of the fatality.
Ooh.
Yep.
The futility of the fatality. That's not even a bad name for the show.
I don't know. And the last time, what kills me is the last time I saw Jake was over a year ago. And we'd been seeing him a lot up until then for like 2 or 3 years.
Week, all the time.
All the time. And he had just...
Go to coffee and all kinds of things.
He had just relapsed again and decided he wanted to spend more time on a different fellowship to try to figure his crap out. And we understood. So he gave up the commitment at our Thursday night meeting because he was going to be going to a different meeting. And before he left, I said, well, come here and give me a hug because I'm never going to see you again. And I was kind of joking. But he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, people give up meetings and commitments and they move on to other things in recovery and it's okay. I probably won't see you again, at least not for a long time. And he said, oh, you'll see me again. Don't worry. And I said, oh, yeah, right. And then we hugged and I told him to be good and take care of himself. And then I never saw him again.
I, on the other hand, saw him just a few weeks ago at the club. But, you know, and this is another thing. And I'm sure that our NA friends would jump on this bandwagon in a second. And Mark made mention of it earlier, or Shelley did. If you're going to a meeting, it doesn't matter what fellowship. If it's working for you, it's working for you, and that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. I went and spoke at the HA meeting, the Heroin Anonymous meeting. Now, you know, There would be people in NA over the years that have said, why the F does Cocaine Anonymous have their own meeting when it's covered by narcotics? But, you know, and then, you know, even Heroin Anonymous has jumped the ship from Narcotics Anonymous. But I'll tell you what, when I went to that meeting, first of all, and I told them right off the bat, closest thing I have with you guys is I slammed, because I slammed speed and cocaine. But, you know, there are idiosyncrasies among heroin users that I am not going to be familiar with, and that even though everyone's kind of general addiction process is the same, you guys are having people come in to share at this meeting that don't even do heroin. And I'm like, because a lot of NA guys didn't want to speak at it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around the room. I think besides me, the guy with the most time in that room had like 4 or 5 months. And I'm thinking, you know, remind you of how it used to be in CA back in the beginning.
Yeah.
You got, in a way, you've got sort of the blind leading the blind. And, you know, when Jake would go into that meeting, I used to think that has got to be a meeting. I mean, we talk about drama and stuff in meetings where there's a smattering of old timers and a right. smattering of middle people and a smattering of new people. And there's enough drama there. Imagine the drama in a group where nobody's got time.
Well,
it's a tough place to try and work your program.
You know, early on in CA, there were a lot of groups where there wasn't a lot of time. But it always seemed there was one or two guys that were kind of around the Pomona area
that had
time in AA.
Right.
And
that were also cocaine users.
That not necessarily, but came over to support the group because they really liked the young people that they were meeting. Because at Pomona Valley Hospital, the Sunday night speaker meeting was when the Alcohol and Drug Treatment Center at Pomona Valley Hospital was there. The young people that came to that Sunday night meeting in their slippers and pajamas, you know, were an attraction to people who were older. I remember a guy named Cowboy Bob, you know, and Bob was just this
old
elderly
guy.
Black man, and he came to all the CA meetings at Pomona Valley Hospital when I was first coming around, and he was just the guy who just, you know, he probably had 16, 18 years, and he'd kind of hang out in the back, and he was kind of quiet, but man, he was always the guy who always seemed to share 10 minutes before the meeting was over.
Yeah.
And just kind of brought things into perspective.
Tied it up in a bow
and said, here, take this with you out into the world, and I'll see you tomorrow.
But I'll tell you, the HA group, at least mm-hmm. the one that I went to, and I'm not saying HA is not a good program or anything, but mm-hmm. there wasn't – they didn't have that. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have that. I mean, yeah. A lot of alcoholics – I don't know. There's a stigma around heroin. There really is, I think. And for alcoholics, there wasn't a lot of alcoholics going in there to, you know, prop these guys up. Yeah. I really believe that NA in the area, and NA, I think NA is a great program. There's some freaking solid recovery. I've been at NA meetings where I have never heard so much program talk as mm-hmm. in an NA meeting. I mean, there's a minute amount of bullshit in an NA meeting. I'll give them that for sure. But it's almost like they don't want to support the HA meeting. Because they don't think there should be any. It should be over in... I mean, Narcotics Anonymous basically started because of heroin, you know? And it's like, it's kind of been the go-to place for heroin users forever. And so suddenly there's Heroin Anonymous. And I think these guys have had a hard time getting guys with heroin experience to come in and talk to them. Because they don't... They'll say, you guys should be going to NA.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they tried to form Cocaine Users of Alcoholics Anonymous, and AA came back and said, you can't do that. So
right.
They formed Cocaine Anonymous. And going to the meetings,
remember
they
said that we're just going to change the AA meeting to a cocaine meeting. And yeah. They're like, no, you can't
do
that
can't
either.
Do that, yeah. So, you know, but there were, I mean, the meetings, the first 6 months to a year that I was around, we had a really close-knit group of people, and we hung on to each other, and we were very accountable to each other. You know,
right.
I've shared before on the show about about 3 weeks into going to meetings, I just took a night off, not for any reason in particular.
You got five phone calls?
Oh, yeah, I got five phone calls like within 20 minutes after the meeting ended. Are you okay? You know, it seemed like the whole world called me. This wasn't a time there were a whole lot of cell phones around.
Right.
But and people, like, you know, people call me from the phone booth at Coco's.
20 minutes after the meeting, they got home. They said, "Where are you?"
Yeah. They were all at coffee. And they called from the payphone. You know, payphones, by the way, for you younger people, were things you used to put coins in to dial in phone numbers to talk, communicate with people when you got a page.
My daughter, one time, yeah. She is late coming home from wherever she was, and I said, "Why didn't you call?" And she said, "Well, my cell phone was dead." I said, "Why didn't you use a payphone?" And she looked at me and she goes, "What's a payphone?" And I thought about it, and I remember when the 7-Eleven down here off of Roland and Barranca,
yeah, they
had 12 payphones on the side.
That's where all the drug dealers hung out with their pagers on.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
And I go, "It's the phone that you put money in." And she goes, "Oh." And I go, you don't know one, isn't she? Goes, I don't think so. And I said, and there was still one, and there is still one down where Starbucks used to be at Eastland. I go, there's
no,
one.
No, I think they took that out.
Oh, they might have taken it out, but it was there like up until a couple years ago. And I'm like, there's one right there on the wall. And she goes, is that what that is? And she goes, I thought it was like some kind of mobile ATM thing. And I'm like, well, the phone hanging on it. But you know, to a kid, they look at that. It doesn't really look like a phone either.
No, because it's a telephone.
It's a handset thing. Yeah. And she's like, oh.
Yeah.
I love the videos where they take kids and they show them old products.
Yeah.
And they say,
what is this? What was
like,
this used for?
The phone is ringing, and it's a regular old phone. And they're like, what is that? And they're like, well, pick it up and answer it. And they're like, so they pick up the phone. They're like, which buttons do I put? You don't push any buttons. Yeah. You've already answered it. Now talk.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
Shelley, what would your final words on the futility of fatality be?
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm going to miss our friend. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Mark?
I don't know if I agree with the futility of fatality, because the reminders that we get from the people who die out there constantly remind us to stick around and do the stuff we're supposed to do. You know, it's like, I'm going to miss Jake terribly, but I still, no matter how close or how little I know somebody, I still stick with the fact that I've shared before and I'll share it again. I will step over the dead bodies in front of the doorway to get into the rooms.
We'll use you as a shield.
Yes.
My thing would be, again, this disease kills people every day. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how young and strong you think you are. Jake, pretty strong, young individual. None of that stuff matters. You know, I would say, Jake, rest in peace. And, you know, hopefully his passing for some people will be the catalyst that helps him to stay clean and sober.
Go ahead. I have to interject something at this point, because Mark wanted to call it Lest We Forget, and you wanted to call it Futility of Fatality, but I don't care, because I'm the one who edits and posts the shows. And I'm going to call it Jake's Show, so that there'll be something somewhere left of him.
Here, here.
Okay. All right. Well, Mark,
yeah.
Who's our friends in the Inland Empire?
That would be the 12-Step Gazette. You can read their publication by going to 12stepgazette.com/IE. And check out the stories and everything in there. And if you, go check out their publication.
Shelley, people listen to the show.
Still?
Yeah.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. Thank you. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you're not allowed to do that.
Well, he didn't do it.
okay, that was kind of lame. Bruce was better this time.
Well, I could do that. That's easy.
Where was I? Oh, if you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counting. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member of Podomatic, you may become one. It is free.
And fun.
And you can like old shows. You can leave comments. You can leave topic suggestions. You can put us on playlists for all your rock and party needs. And you can follow so you get automatic updates when we post the show.
You do. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You just sign in with Facebook. They're not going to spam you or anything. But you will get updates on when the show is, like Shelly said. If you are Facebook friendly on Facebook, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be a little more secretive about your recovery, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group. You will need, of course, to ask someone how to do that because you will not be able to just join the group
because
you won't be able to find the group. However, if you message Shelley Burnett or Bruce Burnett or Bill Piper ask on the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, we can definitely add you to that group. And you will see many of the people in that group that you will hear sending in boozy news and things like that. You can interact with the group at that level. I would like to make mention of the fact at this point that Shelley is going to soon have her ebook out.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
And the name of it, Shelley?
Shelley Burnett updated her status.
Shelley Burnett updated her status. So it's not available yet, and we will let you guys know when it's up. But it will probably be available for Christmas time.
If I can get the darn cover art done.
It's not very expensive. So it'd be like a good gift. I'm telling you guys, she's a riot to read. I'm telling you.
Except when I'm shouting at people, you know, that all caps rage thing.
Yeah, all caps.
You wrote the whole thing in caps?
All caps. Release the fury. By the way, we've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who is the lead out music by?
Doug Falling Down.
Doug Falling Down. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Rest in peace, pal.
I'm looking up from the ground again. I never see this is how it ends. Where are you now, my God? Can you hear me as I cry? I'm too young, I'm not ready to die. Do you see me fall? Do you see me falling down now? Falling down. Do you see me? Another lost soul without a clue.